uncosted, you're making it up as you go along. How would you respond, Dr. Fox? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What we're setting out are the freedoms and the choices that a British government could have if it left the European Union. It would be a British government that was able to make its own laws, a British government able to control its own borders, and a British government able to spend the money that we send to Brussels on the priorities that the British government have, not the bureaucracy in the European Commission. And when we talk about the choices we have, we might choose to spend that extra money on things like the health service. We might choose to spend that money on reducing VAT on fuel. But these would be choices that the British government would have that it doesn't have at the present time, because the EU doesn't allow us to do things like reducing VAT. So what we're setting out are the range of choices that a government can have. Of course, it will be up to whatever government of the day we have to decide what balance they want to have, but they're freedoms we don't have today. We would have control that we don't have today.
In a speech, you're going to say that my younger listeners could be forced to live with their parents for longer. Why? How do you get to that?
Because we talk a lot about the supply of housing, but never the demand for housing. And for a very long time, the need for more housing in this country was more due to social trends than to population growth. There were more people choosing to live alone. There were more people who were elderly and were widowed. There were more people who were divorced, for example. In recent years, that's switched round, and the biggest demand for housing now is actually the increase in our population. And our population has gone up by 3 million over the past 10 years. We're seeing about 300,000 a year now coming into the UK, and half of that is from the European Union. Now, if we have uncontrolled migration in this country, it clearly puts a demand on public services, it puts a demand on the health service, on school places, but probably above all else, on housing. And the more competition there is for housing, the more likely we are to see rises in the private rental sector, which means that more young people will be living at home because they simply can't afford to get away.
How key was the, in quotes, intervention of the governor of the Bank of England, and how did you respond to Mark Carney giving us the benefit of his views, Dr. Fox?
Well, the governor's entitled to his views, but this is the governor of the bank who told us that interest rates would rise when unemployment fell to 7%, and it fell to 7%, and then 6.5%, then 6%, then 5.5%, and interest rates didn't move at all, so his so-called future guidance for the market didn't turn out to be that accurate. So he's entitled to his views, but we're also entitled to question the accuracy of some of the assumptions.
But it would appear the money men, and I put that in quotes, the money men are all firmly Remain, whether it's the governor of the Bank of England, whether it's the current chancellor, whether it's previous chancellors. How come their sums are all wrong in your view, Dr. Fox?
Well, what they're setting out are a set of assumptions about what they call an economic shock. And if we decide to leave the European Union, if the public give the government the instruction to leave the European Union, there'll be a period where the government, the elected government, the current Conservative government, determines what its negotiating position is going to be with our European partners. Then there's a two-year period where we enter into those negotiations. Why there needs to be some shock in the economy, since the fundamentals will remain the same, and the Chancellor who tells us that there will be the shock is the one who always tells us the fundamentals are strong. I see their arguments being more supposition and assertion and politics, frankly, than any facts.
Lastly, England and Wales and Northern Ireland are about to kick off in the Euro 2016. Staying with a football theme, why don't you pair your twin strikers, Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage, together?
Well, we're all doing a range of different functions. We've been working with...
But you don't pair them together, Dr. Fox. Come on, they're the Vardy and Kane of this tournament, aren't they?
Well, I think we've got such a rich team. I think our subs bench is absolutely packed. And I think to get all our star players on the pitch at one time...
I see you as the Rooney. I see you as the Rooney, just playing off the top two, but I want to see Johnson and Farage together, Fox. Come on, Dr. Fox.
Well, I think it's up to both the campaigns to...
But they are divided, aren't they? That's your problem. The campaigns are divided.
I don't think they're divided at all. I think we're actually speaking to a whole range of different types of voters and on a range of issues across the country. And I'll be speaking with Nigel Farage on Saturday in Bristol. And I think that our message is getting across, because I think compared to the Remain campaign, which is a clapped out team with far too many expensive strikers, we've got the real homegrown talent.
Dr. Liam Fox, your former Defence Secretary, thank you, Conservative MP for North Somerset. I'm sure no slight was intended to my next guest, Alistair Darling, former Chancellor of the Exchequer in the Labour Government, of course, and recently as 2010, and co-signatory of a letter with George Osborne. How much political pain, Alistair Darling, did it cause you to sign this letter? Good morning.
Well, you know, when you agree with somebody, even if they're naturally on the other side of the political divide from you, then it makes sense to agree with them. What George Osborne and I agree on is that if we leave the European Union, the world's largest single market, it would be foolish to assume there wouldn't be consequences. Now, in your last discussion, you were just saying that if you look at the overwhelming weight of economic expertise, they all say there would be an immediate hit, which, by the way, some of the Leave campaign have admitted that there will be an immediate hit, as long as a longer-term hit. And when you listen to Liam Fox, all the things he's going to spend, something like £100 billion has been promised in money here, there and everywhere. He completely ignores the fact that if our economy does take a hit, and independent experts have said it could cost us nearly £40 billion as a result of that, then that would affect people's standard of living. It would affect how much we can spend on health and education. You cannot take a leap into the dark simply on the supposition, the wish that it'll be all right on the night.
But there are many people who are saying that we should stay in, are the same sort of voices who are saying that we should become part of the euro. You've never been a fan of that. How come they're right now?
No,
but
I
they
haven't.
Weren't. Yeah. Well, how come? How come they're right now, but they weren't right then, Alistair, Mr. Darling?
Lots of people change. Liam Fox was a member of the Tory government, and listening to him laying into what the Tories did is, in some ways, it is quite remarkable. I've never been in favour of joining the euro because I don't think it would work for the UK, and we won't be joining it. What I do believe, though, is the fact that we can sell our goods and services unimpeded into the European Union, and the Leave campaign can't tell us what the alternative would be.
But they would make the point that Germans will still buy cars, won't they, and still sell cars. You keep saying it's as if the trade will stop on June the 24th.
And nobody's saying that the world will fall off the edge on June the 24th. What is undoubtedly the case is that once we leave, we would then have to renegotiate a trade agreement. And it is fantasy to believe that you'd get something as good as or better. And look, when they say, for example, what about Norway? Norway's had to not only pay into the European Union, despite the fact it's not a member, it has to accept the free movement of people, the very thing that Liam Fox and his friends don't like. From Switzerland. They've talked about Albania, for heaven's sake. You've got to look at the consequences here for British jobs. You also have to look at the fact that if our economy does take a hit, which, as I say, many of the Leave campaign accept that, but they say that doesn't matter because the greater principle is being outside the whole thing, that means they would have to tell us now what it means in terms of how much we could spend on things like health and education. If this is a general election campaign, no political party would get through it without having to come clean as to what actually out would look like, and they're determined not to do that.
Well, they will say, or Dr. Fox will say later today, well, if we stay in, a lot of young people will have to stay with their parents a lot longer because of the pressures on the housing stock. How fair might that be, Mr. Darling?
Well, he said a few moments ago that the fact that we don't have enough houses in this country is not the problem. Well, it is. And, successive governments have not built enough houses. Yes, people are living longer, so that's a good thing, but it's increased the demand. Unless and until we build more houses in this country, as you can see in most British cities, actually, then you will have a housing problem. Remember, many of the people who come here from the European Union do come here with jobs. They pay taxes into the system. Yes. So it's not all one-way traffic. And equally, of course, about 2 million of our citizens go and work in Europe who, presumably would face retaliation if we started doing that sort of thing. So he's quite wrong on that. And we do need more housing, but it's open to any government of the day to make sure that we get it, and they should be doing it.
And lastly, he's wrong on that. Is he also wrong? Do you feel like a clapped-out striker, as Dr. Fox just said, Mr. Darling?
Well, politicians are held in such low esteem by the public, that sort of name-calling really doesn't help one little jot. I respect Liam Fox for what he believes in. I just think he's totally and utterly wrong, and I just wish that the rest of his campaign would tell us what out looks like, because at the moment, they look like they're making up economic policy on the hoof.